Welcome to the Botcast, featuring Nigel Bottrell. The Botcast is an Entrepreneur's Circle production, exclusively for EC members.
Ho, ho, ho. It's Christmas time, almost. Welcome to the December Botcast, where it's Nigel here, and I am joined today. I was going to be joined by my three Christmas fairies, but instead I'm actually being joined by the three wise women.
That's right.
And they come bearing gifts, as you'll hear in a minute. So I got Frahana, I got Jess, and I got Emma here with me. They are three stalwarts, little powerhouses, every one of them, of the EC kind of marketing team here. And yeah, I think it's important. I had a little bit of feedback. We'd like to make sure that the Botcast is a fully inclusive zone, and in that regard, this is a women-only edition. So, men, if you are listening to this today, I take no responsibility for what may unfold in front of your ears over the next 40 minutes or so, because I've got my three wise women with me. So, and that means you must be bringing gifts.
We sure are, yeah.
What gifts have you got?
Well, I'm bringing Frahana scents.
Oh,
did you get it?
See what you've done there.
I like that, Sue.
Frahana scents.
I've got a bit of gold.
Totally, Jessica.
Oh, if only could you see my actions.
That was good. Actually, that would have worked then, actually. But we can do it again. So how does it go? It goes...
Gold.
Always believe
in your soul.
Okay, and then we like this. We like Frahana sense.
We do.
We like gold, and we like...
Emma. Love it.
So, goodness me. Anyway, we're not going to get too silly, because they've got a lot of substantive, beefy, meaty content for you. On the podcast today, and with it all of it with a slightly festive theme, and I want to start with the John Lewis ad.
Oh, did you cry, Nigel?
No, I did not cry. It's a ridiculous advert.
Oh,
I mean, yes. I mean, first of all, I mean, the guy's got no breathing apparatus.
No, yeah, I did
and he's
think
on
that.
The moon.
Yeah. How long's he been there? Where's the camera come from?
Well, this is...
Yeah, there is lots of questions.
It's supposed to be dreams, isn't it? It's Christmas and, you know, the excitement and stuff like that.
So, and she's not very bright either, is she? If she was my daughter, I'd be a little bit upset.
I mean, what's paper planes.
Paper planes to the moon? I mean, what's going on?
But they got there.
Well, the paper planes didn't get there.
Yeah, but her gift got there in the end, didn't it?
It's
overcoming adversity.
It gave me
goosebumps.
Yeah.
Okay.
We did to be fair, we all gathered around James's computer, didn't we, just to watch it. So it brought everyone together.
It was a Christmas event.
It was a Christmas event.
And what was interesting, in mid-November.
Yeah.
In fact, early November when it came out, wasn't it? And that is interesting, how the kind of like the start of Christmas is now defined by the launch of the John Lewis Christmas ad.
Yeah.
That's kind of what happens, isn't it? Which I think it is quite interesting. But no, it definitely didn't move me to tears. And I what I would be very interested in, because a number of the other big retailers have kind of tried to kind of copy and get in, but none of them are quite as good, are they?
No. There's been loads of buzz about the Sainsbury's one with the cat, but I'm not a cat person.
I'm not a fan of the cat one.
Yeah,
but I think John Lewis is always going to be the winner, isn't it? Everyone's going to try, and some of them are quite good, but John Lewis is the one that everyone waits for, isn't it, every year?
I wonder how much, I wonder what the ROI is on those ads.
Mm. Is it 7 million? I think the John Lewis.
Well, that's the cost,
isn't it?
Yeah, so
the ROI must be.
Well,
it's hard to measure. How could you measure?
I don't know. Well, because it's brand, but you know, it is brand. It's not. It is not direct response marketing.
Yeah.
And that's this kind of thing where you know you can spend when you've got kind of dumb shareholders, you can drop large amounts of money on stuff like that. But as for the world that we live in as entrepreneurs, you know, we're not going to drop any, you know, we're not going to go and do brand advertising. I mean, Emma is one of our marketing managers in Premier. And I mean, Emma, you've got clients. I mean, you're accountable for every kind of thing that, you know, everything you do for your clients has to bring a return, doesn't it?
Yes, it's all about results for us. We have to make sure that we're doing things that are going to get a response. So whether it's them filling in forms so we can see that they're interested, or you know, straight to meetings and conversions, and everything has to be trackable and everything has to have results.
And that which is essentially what I mean direct response marketing really, there's kind of three elements to it. First of all, I mean, there must be tracking. And of course nowadays, whether that's a specific URL or whether it's a tracking number or whatever, but also with direct response, if you put any marketing out there, there would be an offer with a deadline.
Definitely.
And the deadline's very important because it is difficult these days. Because, I mean, everyone's busy, particularly in December. Everyone's busy, but they are the rest of the year as well. And getting people to take action and do what you want them to do is difficult. It's hard.
It's so hard, isn't it?
And that's why the offer with a reasonably tight deadline makes such a big difference. You know, we've got a number of things that we're running at the moment, which are something working very, very well. And you know, one of our offers is both time-based. It's a 48-hour offer. And it is numbers based, so there's these run out when 30 are gone or by Tuesday. You with me? And it's interesting because we've turned that into a perpetual campaign. So we're dropping people into that campaign, a few hundred people every day, and the offer and the deadline kind of moves. But that's the way we're getting the responses. I hope that makes sense. You know, we're not sending it to everybody, and this is about bringing people into EC, by the way, so you wouldn't ordinarily see this as a member, but we've got some really cool stuff there that is working very well, and it's direct marketing. It is not John Lewis, Men on the Moon, floating balloons and presents.
If people could see your face right now when you mentioned that John Lewis.
I'm not completely Ebenezer Scrooge.
Not completely.
I'm a little bit though. I think it's because I'm getting old.
It could be. It's 50th, isn't it? Is it in a few weeks' time?
Do you know what? Actually, hang on. Let me do the maths here. Right. So it is. I have got a big birthday coming up. Thank you for that, Farhan. You can leave now.
That's all right. I'll be sharing the birthday with you. You know that, don't you?
Hang on. Yeah. No. Me. You. Yeah. And there's and Rachel Naylor.
Okay.
As well is also Mastermind member. Her voice over network.
Yeah.
I hope I got that right. I'm pretty sure I have. We're all 9th of July babies. 9th of January babies. and but you see, neatly sandwiched, as I'm sure you know, between Elvis Presley on the 8th.
Yes.
And Rod Stewart on the 10th.
Oh, I didn't know about Rod Stewart. Yeah. Oh, okay. I like the Elvis.
Elvis, though, yeah. Nige, and Rod.
Excuse me, Elvis, Nigel Froh,
okay,
and Rachel.
In our dreams. I don't know, but you just made me think here. Is this my 50th Christmas? I think it is. If it's my 50th birthday in January, then this must be my 50th Christmas.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, because your first will be when you're
born. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. So, can I just ask, have you got, you know, the Richard Branson had lots of challenges for his 65th birthday. Are you doing anything next year for your 50th?
Oh, he's 65. Yeah, I'm not. I've got a long way to go.
Yeah, but 50's big enough, Nigel.
Right, this is a Christmas edition.
Not the birthday we one. We'll wait for the January birthday one.
Well, we might. I mean, it's unlikely you'll go, I'll be honest. The way you're going so far, I think this could be a one and only appearance.
You can email in, guys, if you want us featured on the next podcast.
Okay, and if you could not tap the table, I mean, I did give you the brief. It's... You're messing with my sound quality.
Sit on your hands.
50 Christmases.
50 Christmases.
Wow. No, it's 50.
Okay, it's fine. You can have 50.
Mine's half that number. Yeah, I'm 25 in January.
I am now. So it's your half of it as well. So half a world away. Yeah. See what you've done there. That's really John Lewis advert again, isn't it? And that's wrong as well, isn't it, by the way? Because half a world away, that would be like Asia somewhere, wouldn't it? Not the moon.
Yeah.
Not even the song works. I mean, the ad is riddled. The song is about half a world. Well,
yeah, but maybe they thought good enough was good enough.
Oh, don't make me sing again.
No. You can if you like.
Emma's the drama student.
No, we will leave that.
All right, let's move on. So, we've dismissed the John Lewis ad. We've dismissed Farhana from any future podcast for ruse and abuse. But we're going to talk about a few things here. So, Emma, I want to talk about some of the things that have been working really well with some of your premier clients recently. And there's one thing in particular that I did a one-off mastermind day this week for people. It was quite a large group, but it was people that had bought. I think they had to buy like 15 copies of my book when it was published earlier in the year, and they all got to come to Solihull, and I spent a day with them. And it was really interesting. And one guy, and I won't name him on here, but you'll know who he is. One guy was very complimentary about our blueprint in the vault that he got on building your dream list. And he was very positive about this, but it became clear from what he was talking that he'd completely misunderstood what the dream list was.
Okay.
It's a little bit embarrassing, because I'm not sure that means our blueprint's not very good, or whether he kind of missed the point, but we'll have to look at that. But anyway, dream list is I mean, first of all, I'll let you explain what it is, Emma, and then we'll just talk about it. Because, as you know, many of us in business, you know, Christmas time, I mean, for a few people, it's their busiest time of the year. And if that's the case, they're not listening to this podcast anyway, frankly, yeah, because they're too busy. They're out doing all the stuff. So if you're listening to the podcast in December, then you probably, you're one of the businesses, a bit like our business will quieten down during the last 2 weeks of December. And so it's a great time to really start properly plotting and planning and thinking about priorities for January and February, what happens in the new year. And a dream list can be a really smart place to start, particularly, well, I mean, especially if you are, your customers are other businesses, so your B2B business.
Yeah. Okay, so a dream list, I'd say, is a list of companies that you really, really want to work with that are going to be great value to you, and that if you managed to get a meeting with them, you'd be over the moon. You'd probably be taking your partner out for dinner to celebrate that you've you've got a client with somebody like that. They're the kind of quality leads that you'd be putting on your dream list to then talk.
So just to be clear, so this is, it is a list, as it says, and it's a list of the businesses that you would ideally like to get as customers or clients. And for most businesses, that list might be a couple of hundred strong. It gives you something to go at. And it, I thought I'd say, and it's so important, because when you have a dream list, what you then do is you divert and direct pretty much all your marketing effort and spend at your dream list. And what that means is you can spend more with each person on that list to get their attention and get yourself known to them. So, where if you think about it, if you, I don't know, if you're an accountancy practice, say, you know, there are tens of thousands of businesses in your area who could become clients. But by doing some research and talking around and asking about, you can pull together a list of 200 or 300. Now, let's just say that I'll make the math simple on this. So let's just say that you've got a, you're prepared to spend £100 to get a client. Now, if I was an accountant, I would actually be prepared to spend a bit more than that, because your average accounting fees are probably getting, certainly, you know, if you're a good practice, you'll be heading towards four figures a year. So you'd probably spend a couple of £100. But to keep the maths easy, let's just say you'd spend £100 to get a client. And if your goal, I'll keep the maths easy here, but if your goal next year was to get 100 new clients, then you will be prepared to spend £10,000 to get those clients. Now, you could drop 10 grand on a single, I mean, you, there's some stuff, you cost you 10 grand, you could take some press ads out, whatever else, and allocate it all through, but you're wasting a lot of that money, because a lot of people that would read the ad in the newspaper, say, are not potential clients. So it's getting read by a lot of old age pensioners and other people. So, you're paying for kind of bandwidth and exposure that you don't need there. Even if you did leaflets, say, then you're going to send them to houses that are not going to be clients. There are lots of ways that you can spend the money not very effectively. But if you had a dream list of just a couple of hundred people, now, and actually, just to be clear, I think to get 100, you might want a bit bigger list than that, but let's just go with it for a minute. So with a couple of hundred people on your dream list, you could now spend £50 on each of those 200 people, and that's your 10 grand. Now, but if you, but you spending £50, that's a lot of money. You can do a lot with that 50 quid for those 200 people to get their attention. And your chances of getting the right conversation with them or getting a meeting goes up dramatically when you start to send them interesting stuff. And that's what a dream list. So a dream list, it starts with your, and you need to have proper thought on this, and you need to think about it, talk to your team, talk to your family and friends and other people in the area or the neighbour, whatever you want to do, and you start to pull together a list of, and it typically will be in three figures, you know, with 150, 250 people, businesses on there, and you get that list pulled together. Now, the next thing you then have to do is you then have to properly clean that list, and so you're going to have to get someone to ring up every business. And the way I recommend you, and that's a, don't make the mistake of not cleaning the data. The EC is riddled with people who, myself included, who've taken a punt on some good quality data that I've bought in the past. And it, oh, it's, the salesman's told me it's really great, and of course it's not. We had it recently. David Cross had a really important campaign to some call centres, paid a lot of money for the data, and only when he sent it all out and it started getting returned to sender and phone calls, and was saying, well, this person left 2 years ago, that he realised his data was rubbish. So once you've got your dream list, what you have to do is call up the businesses to find out the name of the person you need to talk to. Now, this might be the business owner, it might be the head of purchasing, it might be the HR manager, depends what you're selling. But there'll be someone in that organisation that you'll need to know the name of. So what you do is you ring up the business. Easy to get. You've got the business, your name. Once you've got the business name, you can find out their address and their phone number online, so you build your database in Excel of your dream list on doing it this way, and then you ring up the business. And a good one way forward when they answer the phone is, can you just help me? I've got a gift that I need to send to your managing director, your head of HR, your person, whatever it is. I just want to make sure I've got the right address. And you then read the address off to them. So is it
that's a nice one, isn't it? Yeah, respond to that.
And then, and can you just clarify how I spell the name? And they'll tell you the name and you spell it. And now you've got the name of the person and you've got the address right and you've got any other phone numbers right in the right place. So now you've got clean data.
Yeah.
So now you've got a dream list and you can now start to focus your attention on getting the attention of the people on that list.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I hope I'm making sense here.
Yeah.
Emma, take it over.
Okay, so what we decided to do is, I'll use accountants again because it's a good example of what we've done, is we had a dream list and we actually chose 30 to start with to test it because we wanted to make sure that the messages we were going to be sending them were the right messages.
So a smart move to do is to test what you're sending out with a small number to begin with, yeah?
Yeah, so what we did is we planned a direct mail campaign. So we sent something in the post to these 30 people once a week for 10 weeks. And because of the type of industry, we've done it for various different industries, but we focus very much on what we're talking about. So rather than trying to just sell the products, we're talking about a meeting, and that's all we're trying to sell. So we send them something every week for 10 weeks.
So just hold on there a second. That's a really, really important point, is that? Because if you're selling B2B, in most cases, people are not going to, depends what you're selling, I recognise that, but in most cases, people are not going to buy from you until they've at least had a conversation and often a meeting. Sell the first step, the first baby step. So in this case, accountants, what we're selling is a meeting. We're not selling the accounting service, so the stuff that we send doesn't talk about our services or our pricing or anything else at all. We sell the value of having a meeting.
Yeah, so we're selling the value. We're saying, you know, spend 20 minutes with us and you'll get loads of things out of it. We'll spend some time together, see how we can help you. It might be that we can do stuff alongside your existing accountant. We're not trying to say you need to switch accountants and work with us. We simply want to understand your situation and see if we can help you. So we send these, the first two are just letters, basically trying to get the meeting. On the third point, we send them some brownies. And we've kind of done a little throwaway PS on the end saying, you'll notice there's two brownies in the bag, one for you, one for me.
Nice.
Give me a call, nobody likes stale brownies. So it's kind of, trying to be a bit of fun and trying to get us there. We then carry on. And naturally, I mean, the brownie is a point where people do tend to call us.
Yeah.
So we've managed to get a few meetings just at the brownie point. So
win them over with food.
At the brownie point.
Exactly.
See what you did there.
Yeah.
The brownie point. So just to be clear at this point, so how much do the brownies cost?
I think they're about £2.50 a send, so with the packaging on top.
Yeah.
We're talking like £4 a send, really. So the beauty of this is obviously when people drop out at the third point and they've already called you and got the meeting, that's somebody that you don't have to spend any more money on because you've already won them over. So I really push with my clients to make sure that they're really on top of people calling them and letting me know, so I'm not then keep sending them things. So after that they get another letter saying, I'm surprised I haven't heard from you. Did you get the brownies okay? At point five, we then send the frame article, which a lot of you will know about.
Goodness me, the frame article.
Yeah. And we've even been tweeted for the most bizarre marketing from one of
the,
our
the frame article
clients.
Is based on, it's modelled on something that I came up with a long time ago now. It was like before my 36th Christmas. It was such a long time ago. And when I started out my business on my own, which is like a long time ago now, 14 years ago now, And I wanted to get clients, my consultants. I was a marketing consultant. That's what I started out as. And I had a pathological aversion to cold calling. And so my start point was, I went for a long walk one day on the cliffs in Cornwall. And saying, what can I do to get people to ring me? Because I'm very happy talking on the telephone, but I'd much rather they rang me than I had to ring them and try and get the call. And so I thought, I must be able to use my brain to come up with this. And so I came up with this article, which was based on, it has their name on the front, doesn't it? The prospect's name. So if Emma was my prospect, it's like a newspaper article with Emma's name in the headline and a picture now of David Cameron, the Prime Minister. It was Tony Blair in my day. And it was basically about how prospect name Emma was being feted at Downing Street yesterday as a role model for business all over the country. And the interview about how it was, and then we weave it in about for the, and it works great for accountants.
Yeah.
Because the whole story leads about how, whilst the business has absolutely soared, it's really not down to us at all, it's down to our accountants. And they've been amazing, and da-da-da-da-da. And the little covering letter in, that goes in with it says, you know, and the article sent out like a framed article, got their name on it, so it's quite, you know, and it says, you know, it's not, let's make this a reality kind of thing, let's have that meeting. And it's just a way to get people's attention. And work them through. But you don't even stop then, do you? We're only at step like 7 at this point.
So, well, not even there. I mean, that's step 5. So step 6, what we do is we decide to call them. Well, our client is just call them, but we have made calls on behalf of our client before, because we realise that if we've got 30 people on the list and we've heard from some and not from others, if they're not interested at all, we don't want to carry on wasting money and we're going to go to like the bigger, more expensive things towards the end. So that's a really good way of
so at this point, so by step 6 is the phone call. So at this point, the first 5 steps, we've sent 3 letters,
which
are probably, let's work on £1 each for letters, so £3 there, £4 on the brown, and that's £7, and the picture frame is costing what, another 3 quid?
I think it's about £4 or £5 yeah, so we've total.
So we've spent about £12 now on 30 people, so 30 times 12 is like 360 quid we've spent at this point, beg your pardon, 30 times 12, yeah, £360, that's what we spend. So, and how many meetings typically are we getting at this point?
So by that point, we've probably had about 4 meetings, 3 or 4 meetings, and converted, you know, some of them as well, if you can get in there quite quickly.
Yeah.
But again, you know, we're talking, this is the importance of the dream list, because these clients, I mean, one of them was worth £5,000.
Yeah.
So,
do the maths again, so at this point, we've spent £360 on 30 people, we've had 4 meetings, we've got 3 new clients, and so we're already, and this has been a smart thing to do, and it's relatively, and once you've got the system, you can just kind of repeat it.
Yeah.
And so you start to chip away. So we've done another 30. Because with an accountant, what you don't want to do, you don't want to hit the whole dream list all at once, because you couldn't cope with it anyway. That's the point. So you've got to just start, so you break it down into little chunks. That's why I mentioned we're doing our little piece. We're dropping a few hundred people a day into our funnel, because I want to stagger the response that I get through the funnel. So that's how we're working that through there. What are some of the big things at the end of the?
After that, they go on, so they get a notepad and pen. And what we've done is we've written the 20 things that you're wasting your time doing in 20 minutes that you could be having a meeting with me and changing your life. So I literally sat there and came up with things like checking your Facebook, waiting for your cup of coffee to cool down, all these little things that they just didn't need to do and they could do it another time.
For your coffee to cool down.
Yeah.
20 minutes worth of cooling down.
So just things like that. Engage with them, really, I guess. And the PS on that one is make a note of all the things that you want to do differently in your business. Give me a call and we'll discuss it in our meeting. So again, it links back. So that's also another one.
And it's different, isn't it? It's not the kind of thing you get in the post. It's designed to get you thinking.
And not that expensive either, because, you know, I didn't brand any of the pads. I don't want it to be about marketing them. It's about just a personal thing. And then step 8, we did...
Yeah, it's an important point, that, because actually, like you said, the pads are just stuff you can buy in the stations and things. Because it feels more authentic.
Yes.
Feels more real.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, you don't have to overthink this.
No.
And again, that was another discussion we had in that mastermind group yesterday around exactly this point, because other people there were really over-engineering and over-planning and over-thinking what they were looking to do. And as a consequence, nothing was happening, because they were all busy planning and working it all out. And I promise you, every single time, that the kind of the poorly written, slightly dodgy padding clothes, crumbly cookie or whatever, that when it gets sent, that will always outperform the stuff that doesn't, which is why it's so important and it matters. So pad and pen, anything else that's going?
The next one is just some tissues. It's the typical have we upset you kind of letter, you know, just drop us an email. If you're not interested, we'll part ways. We don't want to upset you. We just want to, you know, if we're here for you, if you need us. And point nine, we had some trophies engraved for the hardest person to get hold of.
Oh, nice.
So it was a bit tongue-in-cheek, but it was kind of, you know, we hope this is taken in good spirit. You know, you can have this on your desk with pride of, you know, we hope it encourages you to pick up the phone and give us a call.
Does it? Have you had responses?
Yeah, we have had somebody call up and say, I got your trophy. I wasn't too impressed, actually. But no, they then got a conversation and then it started.
It's
and then
a talking
it was,
point, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it was really nice. And then it does work. And, you know, we've kind of made sure that the letter to go with it is very much, you know, if nothing else, we hope this has brightened your day kind of thing. So we're making sure it's taken in the right way. And then point 10 is just phone calls again. So it's 10 weeks worth of contact and people, it's amazing. You call them up, even at point six when you first call them, they're like, oh yes, we know who you are. We've been waiting for your call. And they are actually saying to us, let's book a meeting before we're even saying it to them. So it's really good. And I think if you can do it, you should do it.
It's a very, I mean, what I love about that, it's not complex. It's not overly complicated. It requires a bit of rigor and discipline. If you spread those steps out 2 or 3 weeks apart, the impact will be significantly diminished. It landing every week is important because last week's hasn't been forgotten about, but it will have been in 2 weeks' time. And if you don't believe me there, just think about stuff that you got sent in the post last week. You've got a chance of remembering it, but from 2 weeks ago, you've no chance at all because everyone's busy. It's hard to keep their attention. So the pace of the programme is kind of right. On a weekly basis, and you know, and that's how you do effectively use a dream list. And you know, you need the dream list first. I think what's really the important point that Emma made there is, you know, don't send everything to the whole list. You can pace it and test it and work it and see what went through. So it's a good piece. Because what you shouldn't send this time of year,
Christmas cards.
Now, I am actually. It's not affecting me. I'm okay with it. I'm cool because I haven't actually had one yet.
Have you not had one? I thought there was one on the back there.
No, that was a thank you card.
Okay,
got a bit excited this one because it's in a red envelope. Oh, it's a Christmas card, but no, it's
not yet.
Card. So, but I think I'm reaping what I've sowed here. And I mean, it's probably a little bit late by the time you listen to this now. But I mean, I do hope sincerely that you haven't sent Christmas cards this year. Not for any environmental benefit, although I'm sure there is some. Not because I'm not a fan of Christmas, because I am, but because it's a waste of effort and spend, and there are better things you can do with your budget. Because the reality is, at this time of year, people are getting stuff from all sorts of places, and therefore, when they get stuff from you, whether it's a card or indeed a gift, the impact of it is diminished because it's diluted, because it's just one of many.
Yeah.
And well, it doesn't have to be that way. And actually, doing nice things for people in the other 11 months of the year is actually a much smarter strategy. And I promise you, no one keeps a checklist of who sent them Christmas cards. You know, that's not that they're going to they're not going to thank you or they're not going to think badly of you because they haven't got one. Which brings me on though to another little strategy I like to talk about. Which is something that Fro and Jess in particular, you two, excel at this. And I've always known this is important. And I'm not bad at doing it, but I'm not in the same league as you two. And I want to just talk about it a little bit, because I'll share some of my logic and my thinking and see if you can understand where I'm going. Because people, I think it's a fairly common human trait, is that we do all like to be kind of congratulated or recognised or rewarded in some way. And it was interesting, I was watching, I went away at half term and I was on an aeroplane, and I was sat next to Fabian, who was my youngest son. Fabian's 9, and he was playing on the iPad, and he was playing Flick Golf.
Okay,
one of my favourite games. I'm very good at Flick Golf. And what's very good is when you hit a good shot, the screen gives you, it says, awesome shot. You're amazing.
Is that your best American accent, Nigel?
Why no, honey? I can do American better than you. Let's get down south. The point is, what kept him playing on this game was more about the recognition than it was about the score. And what we know, mainly thanks to the efforts of Jess and Fro here, is we know the impact that we get when we do what are essentially very simple things to our members. Now, whether we send them a card which says, we think you're great on it, or whether we send them a... Oh, what have you sent out lately? All sorts of stuff you've sent out lately.
Yeah, we just sent some balloons, actually. Cake cards.
The cake cards.
Brilliant. Really simple idea. And actually, it was thanks to Tracy Irwin. Tracy actually introduced us to that company by sending some here to us. So she originally kind of introduced the concept. But very, very simple idea of sending some cake with a card attached.
But even you don't even have to go to those lengths. Because, I have some cards that I have printed and done. They've got various strange poetry. I've got four or five cards. One says, we think you're great. One says, thank you. One says,
You did what?
Yeah. And one says, bloody well done on it. And they're all blank inside, so I write a personal message and I send them out. And the impact these cards have is quite significant. And I thought I'd just remind you of this on the December podcast, because one of the smartest things you could do for people, your customers, your prospects in 2016 is you can be the one that recognises them for the things that they do. Because I promise you, there ain't many others doing it. No. And when you do, you stand out, and your relationship with that person is significantly enhanced and strengthened. And as I say, it's not about spending £4 or £5 on a slice of cake for them. It's not about having personalised cards done. Go buy a bunch of cards from Works
or somewhere.
It's the thought,
isn't it? That's the biggest thing.
And all I would say is, it's don't fall into the trap of doing it via email or Facebook, because and again, those things have a place in the whole communication sphere, but they're not the place for this. And if you don't believe me on that one, just think about when it is your birthday, how you feel about the people that do send you a proper real birthday card, as opposed to those that blitz you on LinkedIn. My God, I'm just going to come in. That destroyed my birthday. I see all the LinkedIn things. But so that whole kind of recognising and just be the guy that conveys, or the gal that just conveys kind of good feelings on other people, and it'll come back. And
I think it's more about the listening, I think. So in my opinion, it is really thoughtful, but actually it builds that relationship, because they know that you've listened to something and you've acted upon something that has happened in their lives. So.
And taken the time to do something about it. It's a two-part thing.
Yeah.
And in the modern world that we're living in now, I mean, those two things are not trivial, and therefore they put a big gap between you and the other players in your space, which is why they're such an important thing. Okay, we got some. Gosh, time is running on here. Want to talk briefly about our new the new EC proposition?
Yeah.
Because EC, as it has been for the last 5 years, is it's going up in smoke with the fireworks on New Year's Eve. EC is dead on the 31st of December. Long live EC that's been born on the 1st of January. And we've got the new property, which you will have heard about by now, or at least if you haven't, well, you are hearing it about it now. There's a little insert in the circular. We've got letters going out, and what we've done here is a significant listening exercise over the last few months, and we've provided, I think now, real meaningful clarity to the four levels of membership, and exactly what you get in each one. What you can expect, and I think I'm really proud of what as a team we've come up with here, particularly the introduction of you know, the Sherpas, bringing the people that are going to work one-on-one to help you get stuff done in your business. We'll help give you the clarity as what you should be focusing on to get where you want to get to, and then give you the practical hands-on support and accountability that you need to get there. And then the 125 Club, which really does have only 125 members. That membership is limited to that number, because what we're doing with those people is I think by quite some margin, quite simply the best support program for any business anywhere in the country. The 125 Club is replacing Inside Track. It's taken Inside Track and put several bells and whistles, and indeed Santa's entire sleigh, to make it work. So I'm hoping that I feel sure that there will be the right level of membership for you in those four options that you have to choose from. But what isn't an option is staying as it is now, because everyone will have to opt into one of those four levels from the 1st of January, or else leave us, which would be a shame. Don't want you to go, but we are moving on into a brave new world in 2016, and the four packages that we have are the best things that we've ever offered, that we've never had this level of clarity as to what you get and how it all works, and we've never had such a high calibre, strong team of people able to do it either. So really excited about that within our business, but not going to dwell too long on it, Fro.
No, just to say, I think, you know, for us, it is a really exciting time, because we know, I mean, my team particularly, we talk to members all the time, and we know this is what people are asking for. Mm-hmm. They want more accountability, they want more guidance and more support from EC, from us, and to just get more engaged.
And with your own personal Sherpa, you've got, it's a named person, it's not a team, so, you know, you can come in and talk to your Sherpa, they get to know you, they don't have that many members in truth, of the level of service and support they can give you, they'll be proactive, because they understand where you've got to get to and what you want to do. They'll be on the phone, they'll send you texts.
Yeah. We'll know more about their business, so we'll get to know you and your business, which is huge.
It's a proper upgrade of everything that we've done, so I hope you're going to be part of that, because if you are part of EC next year, what I know for certain is that your business will grow much more markedly than it would without the input that we're able to give. And with that in mind, then, let's end the podcast with a little, let's think around, wonder what... If you could give a gift, a Christmas gift, we're going to put gifts around the Christmas tree of all our members. What gifts would we deliver this Christmas?
Gifts for not.
I'm looking at Nigel's pink shirt. Do I need to send a shirt to someone?
No, it has to be a pink shirt. This is the women only edition. But so let's start with you then, Jess. So what gift would you give this Christmas?
I'm going to go with clarity.
The gift of clarity?
Yes.
Is that a new perfume?
It is. Essence of Jess.
Jessence. Oh, I'm on a roll today.
So clarity by Lancôme. No, it's not a perfume. It's not a perfume. Why do you say clarity?
Okay, so I mean clarity in two different aspects. So clarity of like...
Can you be clear?
I'm going to be clear.
By clarity, please.
Can you give me the gift of clarity first?
So clarity in terms of like where you're going with the business, what it is that you want to achieve, but also why you set out to achieve those goals and what it was in the beginning that drove you to...
And I think it's important, because just to be clear, I completely understand and recognise that not everybody wants to build a £1 million business.
Mm.
That amongst our membership, people have all sorts of different ambitions, and success means different things to different people. But what I know for sure is that the clearer you are on what success means for you, then you are massively more likely to get there and achieve it. Yeah. That's the key thing that makes the big difference. And if I that's a lovely idea and a lovely gift. I would gratefully receive the gift of clarity, because if you're able to go into
from Brand Essence,
if you're able to go into 2016 where crystal is opaque in comparison, as to where you want your business to be, then that's going to be a hugely useful gift that's going to keep on giving, isn't it?
I think you've just come up with my strap line there.
Okay, so...
Can I give my gift?
Yeah, okay.
I'm quite excited about mine.
What was your gift for them?
Well, I think it'll tie in nicely with Jess's, but I would give the gift of 90 minutes to everyone out there, because
it's like a box set.
It kind of is.
Clarity.
Clarity.
With 90 minutes.
Mine can probably add on as well.
Hang on, let me finish with mine. Yeah, mine is a good one. And I think it's the kind of gift that we'll keep on giving, because people just need to do it. The 90 minutes concept is really simple. And the reason it's a gift is because it will give you back your life. It will give you whatever you need in your business, in your life. You can use it in your personal life, but for your business, it will give you the way forward.
Mm. I talked in the circular about a little bit about 90 minutes. I talked about the four types of people in the world. There are wasters,
right,
who live off the state and handouts. There are workers.
Yeah.
There are wannabes, and there are world changers. Okay.
Oh, I like
that. And the opening, it turned into quite a long article. I say my longest ever article for the circular. but one of the differences, for instance, between a wannabe and a world changer, is 90 minutes.
90 minutes.
Because, you know, and wannabes, but there's lots of people in EC, lots of people listening to this right now,
yeah,
who completely get 90 minutes. They know, yeah, all about it. It's not like a new concept. Oh, I know I should do my 90 minutes every day because that helps, but they don't do it. And that's the difference between a wannabe and a world changer. And once you have clarity, and the clarity matters to you, so it's not a wouldn't it be nice if I could, it's a I've absolutely got to do this,
yeah,
and that's what this is, then the 90 minutes becomes absolutely unleashes you to get there.
Yeah.
And the reality is, if you go through 2016 with your doing your 90 minutes 4 or 5 times a week, the progress you will make be unbelievable, yeah, compared to what your progress would be without it. So it's a really good gift. The standard is high.
Yeah, it's very high.
Goodness me. So we got clarity and 90 minutes.
No pressure in.
Okay, so my gift would be the gift of knowledge.
Ooh,
profound.
And it really does link to what we were talking about earlier with the dream list, because we're talking about knowing, you know, who to go after, who are the right people to target, and kind of knowing your customer and knowing how to communicate with them properly. So I think when I'm talking about knowledge, obviously there's loads of different things linked to that, but I think definitely knowing who your target market is and why they're, and speaking to some of your customers and understanding why they're your customers and what it was that you did that made them,
got them in,
you know, work, yeah, with you, and using that knowledge to then target other people that are similar to really say, well, you know, we do this and this,
yeah,
and that's what we know that you want because they're the same. So it's kind of really knowledge, I think, would be my gift.
And particularly, I mean, the truth of it is, you know, whenever I'm in the room and sit down with members, and, you know, I learn a lot from it as well, because we all need stimulus, don't we, from,
yeah,
somewhere, you know, whether it's the things that we read or the people that we hang around with and the conversations that we have.
Yeah.
The truth of it is, if we're to have a more successful 2016, we're going to need to get that input, input from somewhere. Mine's a little bit more materialistic.
Is it chocolate?
Do you know what? I'm gifted chocolate. So you just remember, I have actually got a half-eaten bar of dairy milk in my desk.
You had a half-eaten bar?
No. I've done it. It's been there for a few days.
Okay.
I've resisted.
We might crack it open at the end of this.
I might, yeah.
Celebrate chocolate.
I'd have to share it then, though, wouldn't I?
Thank you.
Okay. This is the one to think about then. Perhaps it'd be lovely if it was a gift, really. But there are too many businesses trying to succeed without sufficient capital, and there's too many businesses hamstrung and unable to do the things they want. There's people who've been listening to this podcast now,
yeah,
who love Emma's idea of the marketing campaign and the 10 steps, but what's stopping them is they haven't got the £400 to even send out the thing across 30 letters. And the reality is, if you're a world changer as opposed to a wannabe, you know, because for many businesses you don't need a huge amount of capital, just to be clear. But, you know, even in some instances, even £3 or £4 grand can make a difference. But certainly £10 or £15 grand can make a big difference. And it can release the business owner from the cash flow concerns that are sapping their time and energy. And it can give them the funds that they need to invest in the marketing that will bring on the new customers. And I'm not saying that people should be cavalier. And I know it can, but there are ways to get access to capital and to money. I'm going to cough. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's through people like our funding circle,
yeah,
where we've got, I mean, so many EC members have got money from there, and their criteria are very clear, the responses time is very quick, and it can liberate you in terms of unleashing the growth potential that you've got next year, and maybe a little think over the Christmas break about just what you might need and where that might come from. Because I'm not encouraging people to get into silly debt and do stuff that they can't afford, but I am saying that you've got a good business with a viable business model that actually, for the, what is a relatively modest injection of cash could make, it could absolutely liberate you next year. So I'm liking those gifts. That's lovely.
A
like
gift to, nice little selection box
selection box. There's an idea.
Yes, it's a chocolate fest now. We're all going to jump into a selection box together. Flo, thank you ever so much for making your podcast debut.
Apparently, my last debut. Well, my last appearance.
I've forgiven you. I've forgiven you. We might have you back again. And you as well, Jess?
Yeah, thank you.
Has it been fun, Emma?
Yeah, it's been brilliant. It's my first one too.
Well,
so.
There we go. Well, I hope it's been helpful. We've covered some useful points there, hopefully in a way that's made you feel a little bit festive. And so we'll end now with the traditional entrepreneur circle Christmas carol.
Good. I was hoping you'd say that. We
wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Happy Christmas.
Woohoo! You've been listening to The Podcast from the Entrepreneur's Circle featuring Nigel Bottrell. The Podcast is copyright Entrepreneur's Circle 2015.